This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into this week. We have got some Columbus Crew discussion, which we will certainly have. Not that I want to have it necessarily, but that's not great. So we'll talk about the Crew a little bit. We will talk about Champions League as well. We also will get into some Premier League stuff. There's a new way they're going to be doing Champions League.
Stupid.
Well, yeah, I think it's really dumb. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And plenty more to get into on this episode. But Beam, we were talking last week about me going to watch some bands that I liked when I was in high school.
Yep.
You, this past weekend, went to see some bands that you liked when you were in high school.
It was really good. So we went to see Death Cab for Cutie and then the Postal Service. And on the drive up there, so I do Buckeye post game. So that was on Saturday night. Got it out of here around like 9:30 on Saturday. Concert was on Sunday. Knew that we were going to drive up on Sunday morning and kind of get there in the afternoon and go hang out. I was up in Rochester, Michigan, which is like, 40 minutes north of Detroit, maybe half hour or so. So it wasn't too bad of a drive, 3.5 hours. We were up there about, 1:30, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So that was pretty good. And it was Meredith's birthday, so that was fun. The city of Rochester, Michigan was actually like pretty neat. Like it had an awesome little downtown, like a bunch of bars and restaurants that were there. Like we walked from our hotel and then the music venue was about 10 minutes away. So we just hopped in the Uber and went over there. So it was great. It was really cool. Again, Ben Gibbard rocks. And so like Meredith and I were debating like on the drive up, we're like, yeah, do you think it's going like, is Death Cab going to go first? Or do you think it's going to be the Postal Service? Like, what do you think happens? And Meredith's like, oh, it's gotta be Death Cab, right? Like they're the more successful band. I'm like, yeah, but it's the Postal Service touring for the first time since in 20 years. I'm like, I think for sure, like they will headline that even though it's the same lead singer and they're just doing the two albums that came out like that same year. I'm like, I think it's gotta be Death Cab that goes first. Like it's for sure going to be them. And so we get up and I think War Paint was the opener. They were pretty good. And then, Death Cab comes out first. I'm like looking at Meredith like, see, nailed it. I got that. But no, man, it was pretty neat. It was an awesome, awesome venue, like 10,000 people there. We were like general admission lawn seating. So they go, it's lawn seating. And then they actually have like a pretty good amount of like seats kind of like that are covered over there.
Yeah.
Like in the front. So that was pretty good. We were right next to a railing, like, 10 feet behind like the fence to separate gen population.
The common folk from the bougies. Yeah.
So that was pretty good. We had a great time, man. I tell you what the most fun part was, though. I hadn't been to a show in a while. I want to say the last one that we went to was the Head and the Heart back here in Columbus last year at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think in February of 22, we went to see Alt-J over at The Shot, which I'm not a big fan of seeing concerts at The Shot. I don't know how you feel about that. But that one was pretty good because it was Alt-J and like they're one of my favorite bands of all time. And then it was Portugal the Man with them. So like we hadn't got to as many shows, like as concerts as we'd like, but I think the most fun part was like, with a kid and everything, like it's rare that we get to go out to dinner or do anything just by ourselves.
Yeah.
And we used to, before Willie came along, like we would just go like all the time. Like we would just sit at the bar, even if we weren't drinking, like I like sitting at the bar and having a conversation with the bartender and, I like that whole...
It's a good feeling. It's a good vibe.
Yeah, and so we walked into the first brewery. I think it was called Rochester Hills Brewing Company. And the lady's like, table for two? And I said, no. We immediately like parked ourselves at the bar seats to watch the Detroit Lions game.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that was on TV. So it was fun. We had a great time. Maybe a few too many beers consumed. But, hey, it's okay. It was Mayor's first night without Willie in 6 months. So it was really good. Had a fantastic time. Could not recommend
it
high enough.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that from new parents because, obviously, now being a little old head in the game with, we have a 13-year-old, mm-hmm. so we've been through this a bit. It doesn't get old being able to like just get away. We all love our kids and all that stuff, but there are times where you just need some time to be a married couple again and go have like time to go talk about something that doesn't involve the kids or the budget or the schedule or the whatever.
Yeah, we didn't talk about any of that.
No, you just talk about the stuff you like. Yep. In this case, music. So that's it's very good. So I'm happy for you, man. That's going to be That's a good deal if you can do that more often. Hopefully you can.
Yeah, it was really neat. Super, super excited. But newsflash, we're doing Soccer Podcast Day on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a day early, so we won't have the Crew game to talk about tonight against the Fire. If you're listening on Thursday or Friday or Saturday through the weekend, you already know that result. We won't be able to talk about the second leg of match day one for Champions League, but that's all in a good cause because you're going to Firefest this week.
Not Firefest. It's called Furnace Fest. But yeah, I'm going to see a band that I've listened to since I was in probably like high school, early high school, called MXPX. So they are the headliners of
this
festival.
Is that short for anything?
Magnified Plaid.
Cool.
But there was like the X's are like hardcore, yeah. Stuff. But I mean, they're like a pop punk band. They had a ton of songs that I liked in high school and after. I mean, they put out new stuff. They just had a new album come out like a month ago. So they're still touring. They're still doing their thing. And I've never seen them live. So this will be my first time.
Were you Jeff Rimmer?
Yeah. Got to see it live. That's right. So that I'm excited about. But then I did the thing, and I don't know if you like to do this, where if you're going to a concert with a bunch of bands on it and maybe you don't know some of those bands.
Make your schedule.
Well, it made the schedule, but then I also, before I did that, I got on Spotify and was like, get all these albums in there. Let's find some songs. Let's see what people say about these bands. And a couple of them I listened to like for 10 minutes, and I was like, no, not my thing. That's cool, but I'm not going to waste one of my scheduled slots on that. But then there were some bands I'd never heard of that now I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see them.
That's
so now
great.
I've got like, I don't know, probably 10 bands I'm going to try to hit. And there's a couple of bands that reunited just for this show, this festival. So bands that I listened to, again, 20 years ago, and the people who like this music and know this music would be interested in, but if you didn't get into this very specific, weird Christian punk rock scene from the early to mid-2000s, you probably wouldn't know any of these bands, and that's okay. It's not meant to sound elitist. It's just that's what it is.
There was a, I forget what concert we went to, maybe like a Declan McKenna or something. We watched at like the A&R Music Bar, and there was a band that was opening for them, and they were called Dan Luke and the Raid, and I'm like, whatever, you know, go and I'm listening to the music, everything's going on. I'm like, boy, this guy sounds a lot like Cage the Elephant.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Kind of like Cage vibes and everything. And so, like, quickly after the, you know, because music bar, like, they're all, you know, hanging out downstairs. And so, like, I'm going to the bathroom. The lead singer of the band is, like, there. And I'm like, awesome, man. Like, you guys got, you know, big time Cage vibes. Like, we really enjoyed it. You know, I'll listen to your music from here on out. He's like, those are my brothers.
So like, really?
Okay. That makes a lot more sense. They left you out of the band. He's like, I'm like 10 years younger than them. It just really didn't match up. But I'm like, all right, now I got it. There's a reason why you sound like Cage.
That's incredible. Man, see, again, I just love discovering new bands.
It's and great.
I'm not, and maybe this is speaks to like the soccer fandom thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in soccer, there's always something new. Like in sports, there's that too, right? You get new roster, new coach, new whatever.
More so in soccer.
But
in
soccer too, you get like, oh man, I've never really paid attention to this league, but now some players that I like are over there and I'm going to pay attention more. And then you find, at least I do, find myself enjoying that.
Big Saudi Pro League guy.
Okay. There are limits to all analogies. But I think that applies a little bit because you get that where you get, or there's a new competition you get into and there's some other thing. And I think that is maybe a little bit the similar vibe that I get from some of this music too, compared to soccer is if you are someone who likes to listen to a band, and again, I'm saying I'm listening to a band from 30 years ago, right? But I'm also like, there's new bands there that I'm excited about. But if you're someone who's like, I really enjoy name your band, right? Out of Bon Jovi. And so, like, Bon Jovi was just it for you. That was, like, pinnacle of music for you. And you've decided, Bon Jovi's who I listen to now and forever. That's my top band ever. That's great. But then if you're never exposing yourself to new music, not ever getting into new things, I feel like that's not where I am. Like, I would be someone who would definitely want to see the newer bands and check out new things while still holding to some of the stuff that I liked before. And I feel like in soccer, I find there's a lot of opportunities to go explore, like, a new league or oh, wow, they've hired this manager. What's his backstory? And then you've got infinite amounts of stuff to go study and learn about and histories of teams. You can go pick up, like, you can just decide one year, I'm going to watch the Swedish league. And if you can find it, I don't know where it is.
You just decide randomly because of a game of FIFA that you want to become a lifelong Southend United fan.
Like you did.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you can go down that wormhole forever. Look at Welcome to Wrexham.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a perfect example of, oh, I never had any idea this club existed, but they have a massive history and a bunch of fans, and now I'm going to learn about them. And yes, Ryan Reynolds helped raise the exposure to that, right? But now you've got people who are actively huge fans of Wrexham who have never been to that continent, let alone knew about that city or that town or anything involving that club. So I do think there's some vibes there with
I agree.
How like a music festival or finding alternative music scene. I feel like that is a little bit more along the lines of soccer. And the last thing I'll say is when you find other people that like the specific thing you like if you're a Crew fan and you're over in England and you see a Crew jersey, you don't have
best
to
friends.
That guy could be a murderer. And you're like, well, where's the knife? Let's bury it and try to help you get away with this because you're on my team now. You're a Crew fan. I'm a Crew fan. Like, there's just a little bit of that camaraderie.
I joined a Crew supporters group back when we were trying to save the Crew. Like, I thought it was wrong. Like, you're my guy. You're my guy now.
Yeah, exactly right. That's how it goes, 100%.
I'm very much looking forward to the report next week from Firefest.
Well, I will give you a full report from Furnace Fest.
I hope it exists.
It does exist. Oh, okay, this one exists. I know this exists. And actually, this is a festival that they've said one more year, and then they're not doing it anymore.
Wow.
Next year is the last year.
Okay.
So, good news. You get to hear this all again next year. I'm probably going to go next year, too, just to close it out. Speaking of closing it out, Crew couldn't do that, unfortunately, on the road. Up 3-1, an hour into the game, and somehow you give away not just 2 points, but all 3 points. That is one, Beamer, where we've talked about the Crew roller coaster. I feel like I'm not saying it's season's over or they suck or anything like that. Yeah. This is a moment where I have felt this. I feel pretty low about that. Like, I feel pretty frustrated that that's not one that you clearly had the talent to win that game. You gave it away.
Well, it stinks too, because it was on the road. Like, you were feeling really good about yourselves.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 100%.
And so, to be fully transparent with everybody, I was doing the post-game show for Ohio State. And during this time, we were actively doing our post game show around 9 o'clock. And so we were doing our like big college football scoreboard, and I like to read the Red score and I like to read the Guardian score and then get to the Crew score as well. For everybody that's like listening around on the network, for people who are interested in that. And when we were doing that, I mean, it was right at 9:05, 9:10, like whatever the time was. And I'm like, all right, Crew are up 3-1, feeling pretty good about that down in Orlando. Go on our next segment. We do some Ryan Day talk. And then we like finish up the show at 9:30. Like, okay, feel pretty good about that. And, like, the Crew studio is right next to, like, where we produce for the fan, you know, all of our in-house Crew stuff. It's, like, right next to our on-air studio. And so I came in and I asked Tyler, who was board-opping the game for us, doing a great job. I said, Tyler, did the boys close it out? And he goes, yeah, game-winning goal in the 97th minute. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, great. Cool, because I'm not able to watch it. Like, Apple. Right. I'm a little busy over there. And I'm like, that's great. And he like shook his head. He's like, no, the Crew gave up a game winning goal. And I'm like, wait a minute.
You can't say closed it out. Yes, that's not closing
and
it
I'm
out.
Like, no. Not only did they give up the tying goal, like I thought worst case scenario. Okay, cool. They go 3-3. Like we said, even at the beginning, like last week's podcast, you get a point. You're feeling good. Now you wouldn't feel great if that goal came in the 97th minute like the winner did. But you're still on the road getting a point. I think we would have been happy no matter what. But 4-3, disastrous result for them. So I don't know. I didn't watch the game in live time. I didn't see it. I asked on Twitter what happened. Apparently, Yevhen Shabeko not doing great. Bad substitutions by Wilfried Nancy is kind of what I was reading. And just kind of lost control of the game, which is a first here, at least getting that bad of a result.
Well, yeah, but we have seen in previous regimes this has happened and been a consistent problem with this defense, and it continues where you can't hold a lead. Can't win on the road, apparently, even though you had the lead. That, I think, is the most frustrating part of this is if they got down to Orlando and had, like, a Houston performance, I'd say, well, just not their night. This was their night. You had 3 goals. You had Diego Rossi on the score sheet, which is good. Julian Gressel gets his first goal of the season, which is nice. I know he just got here, but yeah, it's good that he was able to score. That's not usually what he does. Usually popping in assists and things like that. And Cucho Hernandez, I think, had the assist on that goal. And then, of course, Cucho scores as well. So you're at a point there where you're up 3-1, 68th minute, I think is what it was, 70th minute, somewhere like that. And then you give up a goal not long after that. And then Ramiro Henrique gets one in the 86th to tie it up. And I'm sure, again, if I'm feeling this way, I'm sure lots of Crew fans are feeling this way. Did you have a lot of confidence after they tied it up when you're watching that game that they're going to go get the winner? Did you have a lot of confidence that they were going to see it out to a tie? Or did you think, oh, no, it's happening? Because I bet you close to a majority, if not a full majority of Crew fans said, oh no, it's happening. We're going to drop all 3 points.
Yep.
And that's something that, as much as I don't want to take Wilfried Nancy too much to task, you have to sometimes abandon your system and park the bus.
Yeah.
Like I know it's cool that you can play out of the back and you can do all these things and you can, you know, and I know they pulled back a little bit, but you have got to commit sometimes to just going into not a prevent defense in a bad way, but just generally changing up what you're doing to say, we are not going to lose this game. And
we're not letting a goal in.
No.
Yep.
You have to completely, and I think you should have enough players that are talented enough that can go, oh, so for the next 20 minutes we play this way, but then tomorrow or the next day in practice we're going to go back to playing the way we play. Yeah, I can process this. I have the ability to understand how to see off a game.
I'm not asking you to do this for 34 matches.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. So this, I mean, I don't have much to add to that. And I know, again, we're berating a game that, who knows, Crew may have gone out and won 6-0 against Chicago, and everybody's talking about how great everything looks again. But I don't know. I'm just – Orlando's a playoff team. They're a team ahead of you in the standings. They're a team you are going to possibly have to go on the road and play in the playoffs. You have to be able to win games like this. You have to be able to at least – or see them out to a draw if you've got the lead, and they couldn't do that. So that's an entirely frustrating storyline that – unfortunately, it looks like we'll continue with this Crew team. Hopefully not, but yeah. Playoffs, obviously they're still in a good spot there. They just have to, I want to get them to that top four spot.
Mm-hmm.
Getting 3 points on the road would definitely help. You are a little further behind the eight ball on this. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Go over to Europe. Talk about the new changes coming to the Champions League. We'll do that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Of course, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. You can follow along there. We have got, you know, plenty coming up in the hopper. We're excited. Hopefully, like we talked about with the Crew, as much as we're frustrated by that result against Orlando, hopefully they still do some good things there in the playoffs.
Six games to go.
I know, man. The season seems like, in some ways, it seems like it's been a long year, but it also seems like it wasn't that long ago we were saying, what is this Wilfried Nancy era going to look like? You know, I guess it seems like a long time ago that Lucas El Rayon getting dealt seems like a million years ago.
Have we ever found out what his transfer value was? Like,
it may have been revealed. I don't remember it, or I don't know it. If it is, like I'm saying, I don't know it off the top of my head, and I don't think I ever remember seeing it anywhere. But maybe someone did see that. I know the Crew tried to put out there multiple times that it wasn't as much as people might expect, but I don't know. I kind of thought it was whatever the value was for getting Diego Rossi, it was roughly the equivalent is what they got. Something along those lines was what they got to send him off to Saudi Arabia. So I don't know. In either case, Crew have got the pockets. Haslam's are rich.
The best is a tweet from MLS Gone Wild, which I think is a good listener of the program. I think they follow us on Twitter. That's good stuff. Tweeted out numbers I've heard on the Zellerion transfer fee are $2.5 million.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think the number
four million net salary for Lucas.
Okay. I think the Rossi thing was more than that. Yeah. I believe. I could be wrong.
All of this might be wrong.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It all might be wrong. Who knows?
There is not like an actual number out there though. That's not a thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay. Not like a press, and they usually don't. There's usually not going to be a press release from MLS clubs about anything salary related or transfer fee related, unless what you will see is, and this is what we did not get from the Crew, usually there would be a club record fee was paid for player X, and they won't disclose what the fee is, but they'll say it was a new club record. Yeah. We did not get that. I'm guessing because, among other deals, Zach Steffen once got a record transfer fee.
Right?
I think that's what it was believed to be, somewhere in the 8-10 range. But that's the point, is they did not say record deal.
No.
It was just, we have transferred him and wish him well.
You all can kiss my ass.
Kiss his ass, kiss your ass. That's right. Chevy Chase. It's coming around soon. Christmas
Honey,
movie time.
Look, Parliament, Big Ben. I can't get out of this traffic circle.
Wait, that's a different one, isn't it? That's the European vacation.
Funny kids, look, a deer.
What's the thing that he says to Russ when the woman showed him the lingerie?
He's can't even see the lines. Russ?
Still one of the all-time just great moments in a movie. Still hilarious to me. All right, let's talk about the Champions League. This year, Champions League, by the way, we're getting into the start of the good stuff now.
Yep.
We've worked our way through the preliminary, you know, where you barely even know some of these teams that are qualified, but they have. Now we're getting to the teams you recognize. And like we said, by the time you're listening to this, some of these results will have already happened when we're recording. Some of them happened before we recorded. Some of them are going to happen by the time you listen. So we won't go too much into that. But there's a big change happening next year, right, Beamer?
Yeah, there sure is. So as we all know with Champions League, or if you don't know, you can have, I'll give you a little refresher here. So like the Premier League, take for example, right? They get four teams into the Champions League. That's why we talk about top four in the Premier League. Let's just take the Premier League for our example of a league. So their top four get into the Premier League, and that goes into another bucket with the elite, best leagues around Europe. And so, like, I don't know, the two teams or three teams from France, like, they're winners of their domestic league, and the top three finishers will also get in to the Champions League. And so for forever, at least as long as I've been watching, it has been the exact same format. You talked about like kind of the play-ins because there's more spots available to fill out your 32 final teams for the 23-24 Champions League. Right. So those 32 teams that are in the Champions League right now, like we're down to the final.
Or the round of 32, yes.
And so they will play the three other teams in their group twice, one on the road and one at home. Hey, that's what it's been for forever. They take the strength of the team and put them in pot one, and then pot two, and pot three, and pot four, and they just draw out teams that way randomly.
And the way they go is pot one is all the, like,
league winners
tier, and then two, three, and four, they do a coefficient, some kind of formula where they sort that out based on, you know, how good you're perceived to be, how good your league is perceived to be, et cetera. And then that's – so ideally in every pot there's a – or in every group, rather, there is a pot one member, pot two, pot three, pot four. So everybody gets a big dog, a couple middling guys, and then one that's like a lesser ran team that's the plucky underdog.
Correct.
That's usually how it works.
So that's the way that it works, and it's been that way for forever. So you play six games in the group stage, and you play all those six of those games, and it's a regular point system. 1 point for a draw, 3 points for a win, 0 points for a loss.
Yep.
And at the end of those six games, the top two with the highest points or goal differential when it comes to your points, if you share the same amount of points as the other team, another team fighting for you, get into the round of 16. So, like, that's been the qualification process to get into the knockout round of the tournament. But that is going away this year. So there's still going to be a draw at the start of the season, but only to create the league phase fixtures. Eight games for each club, four home and four away. So compared to the six that you have now, because they are bumping the teams up from 32 to 36, the 36 teams will be divided into four pots of nine. Pot one will have the title holders of the Champions League and the eight clubs with the best coefficients, the champions of the top domestic leagues and the UEFA Europa League title holders will no longer be prioritized for pot one.
So as I'm reading that, that sounds like, or listening to you say that rather, that sounds like they're saying, because right now the way it works is if you win the German league, you're
pot one.
Pot one. No questions asked.
Yep.
Now it might be if you win the German league, you're pot one. French league, maybe you're pot one.
Correct.
But maybe if you win like the Italian league and there's, you know, Manchester City won the Premier League and then there's Arsenal is like, they think Arsenal's better than, say, whoever wins the Italian league this year.
Yeah.
Then they're going to say Arsenal has a better coefficient. They're in pot one. Sorry, Italian club, whoever.
Sorry, Lazio.
Or Juventus, whoever it is. Yeah. You're bumped down. And then that, now you're not going to be in pot one, even though you won your league. So that's a little bit of a change.
It is a little bit of a change. And here's the wild part, because for forever, like, group stages would never feature two teams from the same league, right? Like,
exactly,
there just weren't enough amount of numbers. But with the addition of the teams, we talked about a couple of weeks ago how the Premier League could technically get five teams in this year if they hit all their qualifiers. They call that deadlocking. So there would actually be a case next year if the Premier League or whatever club or whatever league gets five teams in, and the Premier League is the most likely to do that, that they could, you could see an England v. England game in the group stage, because the way that it's going to work said from the final table, the top eight directly go into the round of 16. So it's going to be a 36-team table.
Yeah, it's not the pots before drew you into groups.
Yeah.
That's not happening now. Although it will kind of function that way. What's going to
happen? Because there's going to be four groups of nine.
Well, those are the pots.
Yeah,
this is where it gets confusing.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's where it gets confusing. They're going to then take every team is going to play four opponents. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have four teams on your schedule, four home, four away, eight total matches, but you're only playing four teams. But again, the four teams you draw, think of it like college football or the NFL schedule, where everybody's in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in this 36-team thing. You may draw a weaker schedule or a tougher schedule, but you're expected to get the same amount of points. Like, your point total is going to be based on what you do against those in those eight games, those four teams, home and away. So you don't have to win that. There's no group to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you get a draw that's like, you're let's say you're Manchester City, you're one of the best teams in the world, mm-hmm. and it just so happens your draw pits you against Arsenal is in your same group for some reason. And let's say those two games you have are like bloodbaths and one's a draw and one's a loss for Manchester City somehow. Well, that is going to affect their ability possibly to get in that top eight, depending on what the rest of their draw is. Unlike where it's like, well, Manchester City and Arsenal, they'll win their group, so it doesn't matter. No, that it could theoretically. Now, it won't for a team like Manchester City, but let's say you're Bayern, mm-hmm. and let's say you win the German League, but let's say then you are not, maybe you don't get the best draw.
Or like a PSG.
PSG, exactly. Maybe you don't get the best draw, and suddenly now you're going to have to struggle to get into that top eight. You're not, there's no group to win, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because because your opponents will be based off of the pots, but the group stage will be based against all 36 teams remaining in the competition.
So, like, for some reason, let's say one of the, I don't know, big dog clubs goes out and has like three massive injuries to their players, mm-hmm. and none of those guys play, and they end up going on a losing streak. It's not one of these things where they would be able to say, oh, well, if they could just manage a tie against the nothing team in their group and, you know, and maybe pull off a win against one of those middle teams, they'll still advance. No, there's still going to be 24 left in the next stage. Teams 1 through 8 are automatically over to that next stage. Top 8 go right to the round of 16.
Yep.
Positions 9 through 24 will enter a playoff to earn the other 8 places. And those playoff games, I don't know if those playoff games are a one leg or a two leg.
I would imagine they've got to be a two leg.
Two leg, and then it says one leg from there on out. It's a one knockout round draw for the round of 16 onwards, with teams seeded based upon their final league phase position.
I think you're going to see a lot more.
This is going to be wild, dude.
It's going to take a long time. And again, trying to convince people and make people understand like how the Champions League process works before this was already difficult enough.
Yeah.
Like, now it's making that job so much harder. And I would have to see it like in action, because then I think I'll have a better understanding about it. But just like reading it on paper.
Well, what I gather is essentially you're playing a mini, like an 8-game season.
Yep.
Like an NFL season, right? Or, you know, but again, we don't have 8-game seasons.
And
in
if you're not
sport.
In the top 8, then you go into a 2-leg playoff to get into the round of 16.
Basically, you can be eliminated after the season.
Yep.
After the 8-game season, there will be teams 25 through 36 gone. They're done. They're out.
11 teams.
The top 24 will be into the playoffs, the next round of the playoffs. The top 8 get a bye.
Yep.
And then 9 through 24 play each other to figure out who else gets into the round of 16.
There will be a lot more like good games, I feel like, because now you can position yourself. You know, if you get off, like, let's just take yesterday, for example, right? Like, City are down to Red Star Belgrade. Like, if they draw that game, okay, they're probably not that worried about it.
Yeah.
Like, if they draw it next year, knowing that they're not going to get a bye, like, they came back and won. Like, it's no big deal. But I'm just taking them for example. If they, like, next year, if you do that and you mess around and you find yourself with, like, 2 games left to go, hey, we're out of the top 8. We're not going to get a bye into the next round. Like, we really need to press and get goals. Like, I feel like that opens itself up to a little more entertaining style.
I think it does. And I think interesting, and the thing that I'm sure a lot of the bigger teams like is that the teams like Manchester City say, oh, sweet, we'll have a rest period.
Yeah.
Not a rest period, because they're playing their other season, right? But I'm saying they will have a
more
series
of
games.
More of a rest period than the other teams, 9 through 24.
Yeah, they will have a chance to not have to go split up their weeks a little bit when other teams that are in their own league will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other teams are fighting for those spots, so that also makes it valuable. If you get one of those top 8 spots, let's say you finish 9th or 10th in the season part of this, then you've got to go still, let's say you're both Premier League teams, you're chasing Manchester City, but Manchester City's, I just assume they're going to be in the top 8, right?
Because
it's, but my point being, if you get one of those top eight spots, you have a little bit of an advantage in not just the Champions League, but in your domestic season too, against some of those other big time clubs, because some of those other big time clubs may have a couple extra games that are going to be high stakes.
My brain hurts.
Yeah, this is going to be weird. And if it hurts our brain to explain it to each other and to other soccer fans, I can't wait for the people who are like, so what's the deal with Champions League? What's this game mean? When it's like the second leg of the 9-24 yeah. playoff.
Well,
it's like, if they win this, they get into the round of 16. Oh, what's that mean? Well, then there's 16
teams
left.
There's already eight other teams that are already through.
The teams are already through, but they, yeah. What does this game mean? That is the number one thing I get from soccer fans or people who are soccer adjacent who are kind of curious is, I just want to know what the stakes are and I could be interested in this. And then I come up with like, well, you see, first of all, and they're like, eyes rolled back in my head, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's on soccer fans, I guess, to do this better. But it's also on the soccer leagues and the powers that be to not try to squeeze every single penny out of this game and try to get every single television number you can.
More games, more teams.
More tickets, more everything, I know.
Do you know where this model came from?
No idea.
It is based on the Swiss system tournament used in chess.
Oh, well, isn't that where FIFA's headquartered is in Switzerland?
So the chess format decides a team's next opponent after each set of games.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the Champions League, all group stage fixtures will be known at the start of the season. You know who's going to love this and has a great understanding?
Who's that?
Captain America. Christian Pulisic.
Oh, yeah, loves
big
chess.
Big chess guy.
He's going to be ripe for this. He's like, yeah, this is right in my wheelhouse. Yeah. It's the Pulisic system. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's right.
What everybody's calling it that. Mm-hmm. We've got time if you want to, Beam. Do you want to go into anything else Premier League-wise? You want to talk about your wonderful team and how they're doing?
They're awful, man.
I'm sorry, buddy.
What's really good, too? Because on Soccer Podcast Day, they play Bayern Munich at 3 o'clock. I'm super excited about that game.
Mm.
It's going to be the best. Can't wait for that.
I mean, they got thrashed
against
all.
Brighton at home. And Brighton is like a really good team. I'm going to stop myself short of saying title contenders for Brighton.
Wow.
But at the beginning of the season, we did tell you like that is a team to look for because of all of the way that they play and the amount that they develop into youth resources and the amount that they put into scouting, and they do such a good job. Like, look at Moises Caicedo, right? Like, boom, all of a sudden you sell him to $100 million to Chelsea. Like, he's gone. Mac Allister, like, he's gone too. He went to Liverpool. I'm going to stop myself short of saying Brighton are title contenders, but they are very much in the mix. Like, their expectations should be top four. So Manchester United, bad, playing in Champions League with a team that is very injured and who are leading the league in statements issued this year. Like, the whole Jadon Sancho and Eric Ten Hag drama. Like, that's a thing you got going on. You've still got the Antony cloud hanging over Manchester United, like Mason Greenwood, like that whole thing from these past couple of years. That's been a mess. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if come a couple of weeks, like if Manchester United keep trending in this direction, that Eric Ten Hag's not fired.
Well, like, I mean, you're already seeing the reports now that are like the club atmosphere is disintegrating around Eric Ten Hag, and the team is not on board and all this stuff. So, I mean, we're already getting that. I mean, it's
we're five games into the season.
Dude, I know, but this is how it works.
I know it's how it works.
And this is from a team last year that got back to kind of where they wanted to be. Started looking like they were supposed to be again.
Four weeks ago, we were doing this show when the season was starting. I'm like, yeah, back in Champions League. Everything's good. And like, fast forward 5 weeks, all hell is raining down upon them.
Yeah. And again, I didn't think when we started this, we started this podcast 4.5, 5 years ago almost.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Yeah. I thought
it would be a whole bunch of me just, I can just punch Manchester United every time. It'll be so much fun because they win so much. So whenever they lose, I'll get to like take it out on Beam and kind of have fun with that. And
not real.
Right. And instead what's been is me going like, oh, buddy.
You're okay, buddy.
Cheer up, buddy. It'll be all right. Because I feel genuinely bad for you because your team is like you rooted, whether whatever people think, bandwagon, whatever. You've rooted for them for a long time.
Long time.
But for people who don't think that you should root for a Liverpool or Manchester United or one of these big dog clubs, they still do lose games and are not great. And they have it. You have expectations. They're not being met. So, yeah, I drop into Brighton as good as they are. And they are off to a hell of a start
at home.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you dropped it at Old Trafford.
They haven't dropped 3 points there in 20 straight matches until this past weekend. You had that going on. You had Liverpool looking great in the second half. Your boys Aston Villa flying. Nice 3-1 victory.
As long as they're not playing one of the top four clubs in the league, they can hold their own.
Hey, buddy, preach to the choir there. Told you the stat on United.
Yeah, right.
0-8-1 last year against teams in the top half of the table.
That's right.
And then how about the story of the week in the Premier League? Tottenham fans for so long,
man,
for so long have been used to just giving up awful goals at the end of games to either see them drop to a point and share the points at one apiece or give away the full 3 points. How about Big Ange? I mean, We got full-on Ange ball. You are down to Sheffield United. You're down to the Blades.
Yeah.
At home in London.
Yeah.
It is 1-0 in the 98th minute. Richarlison scores a goal to tie the game.
In the 8th minute of stoppage time. Like, already ridiculous that he ties it.
Ties it, and then you follow up and you score the winner. Big Ange has just changed Tottenham in the blink of an eyeball.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
I love that guy.
They went out and got the Celtic manager from last couple years, who did some really good things there in the Scottish League. And we talked about it before the season that, like, this could be a really good hire. And so far, early returns, very positive.
I liked what he had to say, too. And I don't know if it was right after the game or if it was in a press conference. I don't know if you heard this. For so long, and we hear managers and players all the time, like, once we get halfway through the season and, you know, the teams kind of start to position each other, like, oh, are you going to go for top four? Are you going to go for top six? Are you racing for a title? Like, for so long and for so many managers, I feel like they're always so unwilling to say, yeah, these are our expectations. Like, we need to see what happens here in the next game. Like, we've got a lot of fixtures coming up, and they always just kind of kick the can down the road, like, expectations.
Right.
How about Ange? Big Ange, man. He comes out there, and he goes, Tottenham fans have suffered for a long time. Of course we need to have expectations. This is a beautiful game. This is soccer. We're having fun at the moment. We're doing it. Of course, dream big. I'm like, that's the best thing that I've ever heard.
Dude, that is what every soccer fan wants to hear. Go wild. You know what, though? I bet there are people who are longtime Tottenham fans who are like, yeah, whatever. Get some results, and then we'll talk. But the reality is I think soccer fans, more than any other fans, at least here in the U.S., I don't know about overseas, I feel like that's the fan base of all the other sports that we watch, football, basketball, baseball, et cetera, where the fan base is ready for someone who's just a dreamer, who's not afraid of a challenge, who's going to smile in the face of adversity and say, bring it on. We got this. Like, I think we gravitate to that. I think a lot of soccer fans are like, just there's something to the, we're big vibes people, soccer fans. I typically feel like, for the most part, someone comes in bringing vibes to the you know, locker room, all
we're
of a sudden
big vibes guys here on this podcast.
Well, you know that. I'm just saying, Big Ange is a vibes guy. And you know what? The vibe's great. Vibes are feeling real good. He's put out the vibes, and they are returning with positivity left and right.
Chelsea are awful. Like, just really bad.
I like how we undercut. Like, we're positive, big vibes guys. And you're like, Chelsea, blow. They're terrible.
Like, for as fun as Tottenham is, Chelsea is just,
oh,
they're really, really bad. I mean, they're 1 point behind United in the league table.
That shows you how bad things are.
Yeah, and Newcastle are tied with United, too, at 6 points apiece. Like,
hey,
it's
an early part of the season. This may all not hold this way, but little problems for some of the teams that everybody thought. Well, not on everybody thought.
I was not high on Chelsea going.
No, but people thought Chelsea can't be that bad again, right? Well, so far, not looking much better. But, you know, Newcastle and Manchester United last year, much better than anticipated.
Yeah.
Not quite there yet. But again, long season ahead of them.
33 weeks to go. And Erik ten Hag will not be the manager at the end of the year.
God, you know what? 33 weeks from now, we'll be saying, gosh, it feels like the season just started. Now we're already talking about it being over. What we're going to do 33
can't
episodes
believe the
from
crew
now.
Came back and won MLS Cup.
Yes. I hope so.
Cristiano Ronaldo is back at Manchester United.
Doing what?
I don't know.
He's just like
hopefully
out there,
nothing.
He's selling hot dogs. What's he doing? He's
hot
not
dog
playing.
Vendor.
Not that guy.
Manchester United head coach Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh,
Wayne Rooney has left DC United.
Manchester United hires Wayne Rooney episode will be one of the best episodes we've ever done on this show. I can't wait for it. Because it means DC United lost a manager and Manchester United got the golden boy back. You'll love it.
Man.
All right. Well, that's it.
I'm going to bookmark this episode like right now.
Yeah, bookmark it. Save it. Mark it down that we said it. It's happening. You already called it. So when it happens, we can put that out. International press will be
calling.
Can't
believe Tottenham won the league.
Yeah.
They got a trophy.
Yeah.
Harry Kane went trophyless at Bayern Munich. He was the curse.
All the Tottenham fans are loving you for that. They're loving it. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you next week. Enjoy. I'll tell you all about Firefest when I get back from it. And Beam's going to go listen to some bands that make him cry. So we'll have fun. See you later. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.